Ayrım 15.
The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. Prepared for radio in 13 episodes by Brian Sibley. With Ian Holm, Michael Horden, and Robert Stevens. Episode 2, adapted by Brian Sibley, The Black Riders.
Gandalf!
Gwaihir, Windlord, swiftest of all eagles. Why come you here?
I am sent to Orthanc with a message of import.
What message, Gwaihir?
Dark tidings, Gandalf. Wolves are gathering, orcs are mustering, and the Nine Riders go hither and thither in the lands. The eagles of the mountains have seen these things, and learnt also that the Gollum creature has escaped from the elves' captivity.
How did you know where to seek me?
Radagast the Brown told us to bring whatever news we saw or heard to you at Isengard.
Ah, then Radagast is not a traitor.
I was bid by Radagast to seek both Gandalf the Grey and Saruman the White at Orthanc. Why find I Gandalf alone upon this perilous height? And why speak you of traitors?
For 2 months I've been imprisoned as a fly in the web of a treacherous spider, Gwaihir.
Saruman?
Saruman is no longer Saruman the White. He is now Saruman of many colors. He seeks either to join forces with the Dark Lord of Mordor or to find for himself sufficient power to rule in his stead.
This is indeed evil news, Gandalf.
So it is, Gwaihir. But even the most subtle spider may leave a weak thread. Radagast, he called a simpleton and a fool. Radagast the bird tamer, he named him. But because of Radagast, Gwaihir the Windlord has come to me in my darkest hour.
No mortal tames the eagles of the mountains, not even Radagast or Gandalf. But I will carry you to freedom, since I do not wish to serve any Saruman of many colors. Take hold of my talons. We are seen, Gandalf. I must fly with great speed.
How far can you carry me?
Many leagues, but not to the ends of the earth. I was sent to bear tidings, not burdens.
Then I must have a steed on land, and a steed surpassing swift, for I have never had need of such haste before.
Then I will bear you to Edoras, where the Lord of Rohan sits in his halls. But that is not very far off, and there are no horses like those that are bred by the Rohirrim, the horse lords of Rohan.
Gwaihir the Windlord carried Gandalf to Edoras in the land of Rohan, to the halls of Theoden, King of the Mark.
Hail Theoden, son of Thengel.
Why comes Gandalf the Grey unlooked for to my halls?
I have come to seek the aid of the Rohirrim and their king.
I have never heard before that Gandalf sought the aid of any man.
Storm clouds are gathering, Theoden. And when the storm breaks, nowhere in Middle-earth will be safe from its fury. Not even Theoden's halls.
I know not what storm you speak of, wandering wizard.
Then you know not of the rise of the enemy in Mordor, or of the treachery of Saruman the White?
Grimmer, faithful counselor, what say you of Gandalf Stormcrow's words?
I say Saruman is our ally against the Dark Lord of Mordor, King Theoden. And we should not parley with any who call him traitor.
It is, I believe, as Grimmar says. Rohan has no welcome for the warmonger.
I seek not war, Theoden. But if it comes, others than I will draw its bloody sword in Rohan. But if you will not help me, then at least lend me a steed that I may ride elsewhere in search of aid.
Very well, Gandalf. Take a horse and be gone.
Gandalf strode from Theoden's golden hall and went in search of a steed to carry him back to the Shire. And at Isengard, Saruman was suddenly faced with another unexpected turn of events.
Come forth, Saruman, that we may speak with thee.
Who calls thus on Saruman in such rude fashion?
I am the Lord of the Nazgûl. Servant of Sauron the Great.
What seek you here?
We seek knowledge, Saruman. Knowledge of how we may find that part of Middle-earth which is known as the Land of the Halflings.
It is not a land that you look for.
I know what you seek, though you do not name it. I have it not, as surely its servants perceive without telling, for if I had it, then you would bow before me and call me lord. I know nothing of this thing or of the land you seek. There is one only whom I guess to have this knowledge.
Who?
Mithrandir. He whom some call Gandalf. Gandalf the Grey. As it is but 2 days since this enemy of Sauron departed from Isengard, seek him nearby.
Seek him we shall, Saruman. Come!
But as the black riders of Mordor rode in search of Gandalf, they came upon another.
Halt! Who rides there?
I am Grima, and I ride in haste, my lord. Do not delay me.
Why? What is your haste, and where are you bound?
For Isengard, lord.
Wherefore?
I carry certain news to Saruman.
What news?
That Mithrandir has sought to counsel King Théoden against both Saruman and Sauron.
Where is Mithrandir now?
He seeks only a horse to return him to the land of the halflings.
Know you of this land?
Well,
Speak or die! Where is this land?
Spare me! I will speak as swiftly as I may. West, through the gap of Rohan yonder, and then north and a little west, the Shire, they call it.
Come, riders of Mordor! We will divide our company. Some to find this land and search it. Some to seek Mithrandir. Come, away!
As the black riders rode away westward, Gandalf found on the plains of Rohan a horse suited to his needs. A horse that might have been foaled in the morning of the world. Light was his footfall, and swift as the flowing wind was he. By day his coat glistened like silver, and by night it was like a shade, so that he passed unseen. Shadowfax, they called him. Never before had any man mounted him, but Gandalf took him and tamed him, and swiftly he bore Gandalf north.
On, Shadowfax! We must hasten. Time is short.
So Gandalf rode north on Shadowfax. While in the Shire, Frodo, not knowing what had delayed his friend, decided he would wait no longer.
Well, Mary, is everything ready?
Yes. 2 cartloads yesterday, full to overflowing, and now another one.
I'm beginning to wonder if your new home will be big enough.
Well, I've sold everything I could bear parting with to Lobelia. But some things I just had to take to remind me of Bag End and Bilbo.
Well, I'd best be off. If I leave now, I can get to Crick Hollow and warm the house before you arrive. That's if you're quite sure you want to walk rather than go by cart.
Quite sure.
Then I'll see you the day after tomorrow. If you don't go to sleep on the way.
I'll try not to.
I'll tell you one thing, Frodo. You had better settle when you get back to the Buckland, because I, for one, am not helping you to move back again.
What on earth makes you think Lobelia would ever sell Bag End back to me?
Oh, she might. At a profit. Farewell, Frodo. And good walking.
Poor Mary. What will you say when you learn the truth about all this?
As the sun went down, Frodo, Pippin, and Sam sat in the kitchen at Bag End.
Our last meal at Bag End.
Well, Sam and I will wash up if you want to have a last look round.
Thank you, Pippin, but I think we'll leave the washing up for Lobelia. I've already taken a last look round. Everywhere looks so sad and gloomy and dishevelled. So, we might as well start.
Our packs are already in the porch, Mr. Frodo.
Well done, Sam.
It looks as though it's going to be a fine night.
Well, that's good for a beginning. I wish I knew what was delaying Gandalf. Anyway, I must start and he must follow. Well, goodbye, dear old Bag End. Well, then, we're off at last. Well,
haven't you got a song for the occasion, Frodo?
Well, yes, there's one that might suit. Up on the hearth?
Mm. Yes.
Upon the hearth, the fire is red. Beneath the roof, there is a bed. but not yet weary are our feet. Still round the corner we may meet a sudden tree or standing stone that none have seen but we alone. Tree and flower and leaf and grass, let them pass, so let them pass.
The hobbits had scarcely gone when a dark and sinister hooded rider rode up Bagshot Row and arrived at Gaffer Gamgee's home.
Yes? Who's there? Who is it? What do you want at this time of night?
Baggins. I'm looking for Baggins. Where is Baggins?
What's Mr. Baggins's business to do with you?
A friend of his is looking for him.
Well, you don't look like any friend of Mr. Baggins's I've ever seen.
Answer my question. Where is Baggins? There's no one at his house. Why?
Well, for a good reason. Mr. Baggins has gone away.
Where did Baggins go?
That ain't no secret. He's moved to Crick Hollow or some such place, away down yonder.
Is it far?
Yes, it is a tidy way. I've never been so far myself. They're queer folk down there.
If you see him, you'll give him a message from me.
I'm not taking no orders from you nor no one. Not even if you are a friend of Mr. Baggins, which I doubt. No. Good night to you.
After they'd been walking for about 3 hours, Frodo, Pippin and Sam made camp in the deep resin-scented darkness of a patch of fir wood. Night passed, and the morning came, pale and clammy.
Oh. Walking for pleasure. Oh, why didn't I go by cart with Merry? Neck stiff and I feel as though I had a hole in my back. And all my beautiful feather beds sold to the Sackville Bagginses. Oh, these tree roots would do them good. Wake up, hobbits. It's a beautiful morning.
Oh, what's beautiful about it? Sam, get breakfast ready for 9:30. Have you got the bath water hot?
No, sir. It's all right, Sam. Huh? Mr. Pippin is pulling your leg. Come on, Pippin, up you get. You can help Sam get breakfast, and then we must get started.
Oh. I've never been this near the end of the Shire before, Mr. Peregrine. What river is that down there?
That's the Brandywine, Sam.
And do elves live in those woods over there?
In the Woody End? No, not that I ever heard. Oh. This road goes on forever. When are we going to rest, Frodo? Frodo?
The road goes ever on and on, down from the door where it began. Now, far ahead, the road has gone, and I must follow if I can, pursuing it with eager feet, until it joins some larger way, where many paths and errands meet. And whither then, I cannot say.
That sounds like a bit of old Bilbo's rhyming. Or is it one of your imitations?
I don't know. It came to me then as if I was making it up, but I may have heard it long ago.
In any event, it doesn't sound altogether encouraging.
No, I suppose not. Bilbo often used to say there was only one road, that it was like a great river. Its springs were at every doorstep, and every path was its tributary. It's a dangerous business going out of your door, he used to say. You step into a road, and if you don't keep your feet, there is no knowing where you might be swept off to.
Well, this road won't sweep me anywhere for an hour at least. It's time for a rest, and if you fellas won't wait, well, then you must go on without me.
Farewell we call to hearth and hall. The wind may blow and rain may fall. We must away.
Oh, begging your pardon, Mr. Furlough. I can hear a pony or a horse coming along the road behind.
I wonder if that's Gandalf coming after us. It may not matter much, but I would rather not be seen on the road by anyone. I'm sick of my doing being noticed and discussed, and if it is Gandalf, We can give him a little surprise to pay him out for being so late. Let's get out of sight. Right.
One ring to rule them all. One ring to find them all. One ring to bring them all. And in the darkness, bind them. This is the master ring. The one ring to rule them all. This is the one ring lost many years ago to the great weakening of its maker's power. Now, he greatly desires to have it again. But he must not get it.
The ring. The ring. Put on the ring.
Remember what I said about the ring? Keep it safe. And keep it secret.
I don't know.
What did you see, Mr. Frodo?
It was a man, I think, wrapped in a black cloak and hood so that his face was shadowed and invisible. All I could see was his boots in the high stirrups.
What was he looking for?
I can't say why, but I feel certain he was looking for, or smelling for, me. Yes, and I feel certain that I did not want him to discover me. I've never seen nor felt anything like it in the Shire before.
But what has one of the big people got to do with us? And what is he doing in this part of the world?
I don't know. But I wish I'd waited for Gandalf. But then, perhaps it would only have made matters worse.
Then you know or guess something about this rider?
I don't know, and I would rather not guess.
All right, Cousin Frodo. You can keep your secret for the present if you want to be mysterious. In the meanwhile, what are we to do?
I think we will move on now. We ought to do a good step more today. Buckland is still many miles away. But we must keep off the road in case that rider comes back. Mm. Yes, I'm going to cut straight across country from here.
Shortcuts make long delays. The country's rough round here, and there are bogs and all kinds of difficulties. And if you're worrying about meeting that rider, then I can't see that it would be any worse meeting him on a road than in a wood or a field.
Pippin, it is less easy to find people in the woods and fields, and if you're supposed to be on the road, there is some chance that you will be looked for on the road and not off it.
All right. I'll follow you into every bog and ditch. But it is hard. I had counted on passing the Golden Perch at Stock before sundown. The best beer in the East Farthing of the Shire, or used to be.
That settles it. Shortcuts make delays, but inns make longer ones. At all costs, we must keep away from the Golden Perch. What do you say, Sam?
I should go along with you, Miss Frodo.
Oh. Then if we are going to toil through bog and briar, let's go... Oh! What do you think that was? If it was a bird, it was one I never heard in the Shire before.
It was not bird or beast. It was a call or a signal. There were words in that cry, though I could not catch them, but no hobbit has such a voice. Come, sooner or later we must go on. It's better that we go sooner.
Hello? I know these fields. This is Bam Furlong, old Farmer Maggot's land. And that's his farm away there in the trees.
Oh, no, one trouble after another.
And what's wrong with old Maggot? He's a good friend to all the Brandybucks. Of course, he's a terror to trespassers and keeps ferocious dogs. But after all, folk down here are near the border and have to be more on their guard.
All the same, I'm terrified of him and his dogs. And I've avoided his farm for years and years.
Why is that, Mr. Frodo?
Well, he caught me trespassing after mushrooms several times when I was a youngster. On the last occasion, he beat me and then took me and showed me to his dogs. See, lads, he said, next time this young varmint sets foot on my land, you can eat him. Now see him off. And they did. And I've never got over the fright.
Well, then, it's time you made it up.
Come on, lads.
Don't worry, Mr. Frodo. I won't let this farmer Maggot do you no harm. If he tries, he'll have Sam Gamgee to reckon with.
Thank you, Sam.
Hello, hello, and who may you be? And what may you be wanting?
Good afternoon, Mr. Maggot.
Well, if it isn't Master Pippin. Oh, Mr. Peregrine Took, I should say.
Yes.
It's lucky for you that I know you. I was just going out to set my dogs on any strangers. There are some funny goings on today. Of course, we do get queer folk wandering in these parts at times, too near the river. But this fellow was the most outlandish I ever set eyes on.
Which fellow do you mean?
Well, then you haven't seen him. Oh, he went up the lane not a long while back. Oh, he was a funny customer. He was asking funny questions. Oh, but oh, perhaps you'll come inside and we'll pass the news more comfortably. I have a drop of good ale on tap if you and your friends are willing, Mr. Took.
Yes, well, what about the dogs?
They won't harm you. Not unless I tell them to. Here, Grip. Grip, Fang. Here. Here, Wolf.
Can I introduce my friends? This is Sam Gamgee.
Well, how do you do, Sam?
How do you do?
And this is Mr. Frodo Baggins. You may not remember him, but he used to live in Buckland.
Well, if that isn't queerer than ever. Mr. Baggins, is it? Oh, come inside. We must talk.
Well, Sam, this makes up for missing the golden perch, eh?
Yes, I suppose so, Mr. Peregrine.
I'm afraid Sam here is rather suspicious of you, Farmer Maggot. Well, you see, I told him the last time I came to visit you, you gave me a beating to remember you by.
Well, Sam, I'm sorry I beat your master, but he shouldn't have gone thieving my mushrooms. I remember you, Mr. Baggins. Anyway, that's all in the past. It wasn't mushrooms I was thinking of when Mr. Peregrine told me your name, Mr. Frodo. You see, I had just heard the name of Baggins before you turned up.
How was that, Mr. Maggot?
Well, it was like this. This funny customer came riding in at the gate on a big black horse. And right up to my door. All black he was himself, too, and cloaked and hooded up as if he did not want to be known. Good day to you, I says, going out to him. This lane don't lead anywhere, and wherever you may be going, your quickest way will be back to the road. The black fellow sat quite still, and then pointed back west, over my fields, if you please, he said. I come from yonder. Have you seen Baggins? Mm-hmm. Oh, be off, I said. There are no Bagginses here. You're in the wrong part of the shire. You'd better go back west to Warburton. You can go by road this time. Baggins has left, he answered in a whisper. He is coming. He is not far away. I wish to find him. If he passes, will you tell me? I will come back with gold. Oh, no, you won't, I said. You'll go back where you belong, double quick. I give you 1 minute before I call all my dogs. And he gave a sort of hiss. Oh, it might have been laughed and it might not. Then he spurred his great horse right at me, and I jumped out of the way only just in time. I called my dogs, but he swung off and rode through the gate like a bolt of thunder. Now, what do you think of that?
I don't know what to think.
Well, it's as plain as my nose that no accident brought you and that rider here on the same afternoon. And maybe my news was no great news to you after all. I'm not asking you to tell me anything you have a mind to keep to yourself, but I see you're in some kind of trouble.
Yes, I'm afraid I may be. And since I must try to get to Crick Hollow before dark, we must be going.
Drink up, Sam. We're off again.
Look, Mr. Frodo, I've a notion. It's nearly sundown, and we're going to have our supper. Mrs. Maggot's cooking bacon and mushrooms. I dare say you still have a liking for mushrooms, Mr. Baggins. Anyway, we'd be pleased if you could all stay and have a bite with us.
Well, and so should we, but... Well, really, you
see,
we must...
Now, wait a minute. I was going to say, after a bit of supper, I'll get out our small wagon, and I'll take you on your way. And that'll save you a step, and it might also save you trouble of another sort.
Thank you, Mr. Maggot. That would be most kind.
It didn't take much to change his mind, did it? Bacon and what was it?
Mushrooms.
Yes, of course.
This mist is going to get worse, I'm thinking. But I'll not light my lanterns till I turn for home. We'll hear anything on the road long before we meet it.
You know, Farmer Maggot, I've been in terror of you and your dogs for over 30 years. Though you may laugh to hear it. It's a pity, for I've missed a good friend.
Well, you should never have gone getting yourself mixed up with Hobbiton folk. I shouldn't be surprised if this trouble you're in now hasn't come from those strange doings of Mr. Bilbo. Anyway, I'm glad you've had the sense to come back to Buckland. And my advice is, stay here. Oh, there. Oh, someone's coming.
You'd better be hidden, Mr. Furlough. Get down in the wagon. Cover up the blankets. We'll soon send this rider to the right about.
Hello there. Now then, don't you come a step nearer. What do you want? Who are you?
Why, it's me, Mr. Maggot.
Oh, Mr. Merry.
Yes, of course. Who did you think it was?
You can come out, Frodo. It was only Merry.
Merry.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
What's all this about? And where did you find them, Mr. Maggot? In your duck pond?
Oh, I caught them trespassing. Oh, but they'll tell you the story, I've no doubt. Well, it's been a queer day and no mistake, but all's well that ends well, though perhaps we should not say that till we reach our own doors. Mm. Oh, there now. I was nearly forgetting. Mrs. Maggot put this up for Mr. Baggins with her compliments.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Maggot.
Well, good night to you all.
Good night, Mr. Mike.
What's in the basket, Frodo?
Mushrooms, if I'm not very much mistaken.